Disclaimer. The following presentation contains scenes of violence and disturbing content that may not be suitable for all listeners. Listener discretion is advised. The views and opinions expressed in this episode are those of the characters and do not necessarily reflect the views of the producers. This is a work of fiction. Names, characters, businesses, places, events, locales, and incidents are either the products of the author's imagination or used in a fictitious manner. Any resemblance to actual persons, living or dead, or actual events is purely coincidental. Chapter 4. Shadows of Betrayal. The Serpent Strike. In the heart of Suryagarh, beneath the vigilant gaze of the fortress walls, the other half of the special squad, led by the seasoned warrior Rohan Singh, stood poised for action. Rohan Singh, renowned for his expertise in stealth and reconnaissance, commanded the respect of his comrades as they awaited their next directive, feeling the weight of urgency hanging palpably in the air. Among them, Ashwin Singh, a shrewd negotiator and diplomat, carried the burden of a crucial mission. His task, to seek an audience with Guru Tejas, the keeper of counsel and wisdom, and inform him of the unfolding crisis with a gravity that matched the shadows dancing upon the fortress walls. Accompanying him, Rupak Singh and Yash Singh, masters of silent approach, moved with the grace of shadows themselves. Their proficiency in scouting and observation made them indispensable, ever vigilant for signs of impending danger that threatened the fortress and those within its walls. Though unaware of the events transpiring at the distant campsite, the special squad members were keenly attuned to the gravity of their mission. With each passing moment, their resolve deepened, steeling them against the unknown perils lurking in the shadows. Guru Tejas, with his snow-white beard flowing like a river of wisdom and his long silky hair reminiscent of a sage from ancient lore, embodied not only the wisdom of ages but also the strength of a warrior. His presence commanded respect, his words carrying the weight of centuries of accumulated knowledge. Yet, beyond his appearance lay a man of action, a leader who not only advised but also took charge when needed. It was Guru Tejas who conceived the idea of the royal squad, recognizing the need for elite warriors to protect the kingdom in times of peril. Handpicking each member, he saw potential where others saw only ordinary soldiers, instilling in them martial skill and the values of honor, loyalty, and courage. On the battlefield, Guru Tejas was a force to be reckoned with, his mere presence enough to inspire awe in friend and foe alike. His strategic genius and unparalleled combat prowess had turned the tide of many battles, earning him the respect and admiration of all who served under him. As Ashwin Singh approached Tejas's chamber, his footsteps echoing in the hallowed halls, he was taken aback by the sight that greeted him. There, amidst the flickering torchlight, stood Rajguru Tejas, his figure silhouetted against the dim glow, surrounded by a dozen lifeless bodies strewn across the chamber floor. Drawing his sword, Ashwin's concern deepened. "Guruji, are you all right?" he inquired, his voice laced with worry. Tejas turned to face him, his eyes reflecting the firelight with an intensity that belied his age. "I may be old, Ashwin, but it will take more than a handful of soldiers to rid the world of me," he replied, with a hint of grim determination. Gripping his sword tightly, Ashwin pressed on, his urgency palpable. "Guruji, there is a cloud of trouble brewing over Suryagarh. We have received news of an impending attack on Man Singh's camp and the royal family." Tejas's brow furrowed in concern. "Where is Vikram?" he demanded, his voice cutting through the tension like a blade through the night. Ashwin's expression darkened. "He is headed towards Man Singh's camp," he replied, his tone betraying the gravity of the situation. As our heroes busied themselves with preparations for the looming threat, another figure prowled the corridors of power in Suryagarh. Sharya Singh, the formidable royal army chief, strode with purpose, his imposing physique and commanding presence evoking a sense of authority that demanded attention. Years of battle-hardened experience had sculpted Sharya Singh into a formidable warrior, his very presence instilling fear in the hearts of those who dared to cross him. His demeanor exuded confidence, his every word weighted with the certainty of a seasoned military leader. With a gaze as piercing as the blade he wielded in battle, Sharya Singh surveyed his domain, his mind calculating strategies and tactics to ensure the kingdom's defense. But behind his steely exterior lurked a darkness, a hunger for power that knew no bounds. As he strode down the hallway, Charya Singh's path intersected with another group led by a woman of unmistakable authority. Her followers were armed to the teeth, their attire and weapons bearing stains of what appeared to be blood. His voice resonating with authority, Charya Singh addressed the woman directly. "Indira, are these the royal guards?" Indira, daughter of Charya Singh, commanded attention with every step, her imposing figure radiating an aura of formidable strength and power. With jet-black hair streaming down her back in a sleek ponytail, her intense gaze seemed to swallow the surrounding light, shrouding her in an unsettling darkness that contrasted with her radiant skin. Clad in armor tainted by the blood of her foes, Indira moved with a predatory grace, exuding authority and instilling both awe and fear. Her words dripped with malice, leaving no doubt about her allegiance to the forces of darkness. In her presence, the air thickened with dread, as if reality itself recoiled from her malevolent aura. Indira wasn't just a warrior. She was chaos incarnate, a symbol of despair, a reminder of the darkness within every heart. Physically, Indira possessed a muscular form that struck fear into the hearts of many, a testament to her unwavering dedication to combat. Despite her imposing stature, there was an undeniable allure to her flawless, radiant skin and hauntingly beautiful face framed by long, jet-black hair. But it was her smile that truly unnerved those who beheld it. There was a cruel twist to the curve of her lips, a malevolent gleam in her eyes that hinted at unspeakable horrors. To many, her smile was a harbinger of doom, a chilling reminder of the darkness lurking behind her captivating facade. Indira embodied evil incarnate, driven by a dark and insatiable thirst for power. Her mere presence struck fear into the hearts of even the bravest warriors, revealing the true face of darkness with her cold, unyielding gaze. Their conversation continued as the group, now marching as one, advanced towards the royal chambers. Indira's voice cut through the air like a blade, dripping with malice and satisfaction. "They are all waiting for the king at the gates of hell," she said, her tone filled with twisted delight. Charya Singh, entrusted with the security of the royal chambers, had meticulously orchestrated a deceptive plan. Recognizing the allegiance of certain soldiers who would never join his treacherous cause, he had deliberately gathered them beforehand, ensuring they would be swiftly dispatched by Indira and her ruthless cohort. Charya Singh's expression remained stoic as he inquired, "Any trouble?" Indira's laughter echoed mockingly. "Just a lack of time to enjoy the kill," she replied, reveling in the chaos she had orchestrated. Charya Singh's gaze hardened. "There will be enough meat for you to play with," he assured her. Indira's eyes gleamed with wicked amusement. "I made sure all the good women were sent to the dungeon for later," she boasted, relishing in the suffering she had inflicted. Charya Singh's voice was tinged with venom as he questioned, "Did you ensure that Rima and Khusla were left untouched and safely?" Indira's lip curled in disdain. "You really hate those bitches," she remarked with a cruel smirk. Charya Singh's eyes flashed with rage. "You have no idea. I have held a grudge against them for far too long. They will live a long and painful life," he vowed, his hatred burning like a relentless fire. Indira's laughter rang out, chilling in its intensity. "That is music to my ears," she purred, savoring the thought of their suffering. Charya Singh's brow furrowed in concern. "Is Tejas dead? That old man is a sore." Indira's expression twisted into a sneer. "That old man is not going to be any trouble to us," she dismissed with contempt. Charya Singh's eyes narrowed. "That old man can still cause some problems," he warned, his voice laced with apprehension. As the group edged closer to the chambers, Rupak Singh and Yash Singh swiftly returned to join the rest of the elite squad. Gathering together in a huddle, they exchanged looks of anticipation and readiness. Ashwin, with a solemn expression, began to relay the information he had received from Rajguru Tejas. "Guruji has instructed us to move swiftly. There's an impending attack on Man Singh's camp, and the royal family is in danger," he announced, urgency lacing his voice. Listening intently, the squad members absorbed the gravity of the situation, their expressions growing more serious with each passing moment. Just then, Rupak Singh interjected with a grim report. "Charya Singh and his group are marching towards the chambers. Indira leads them," he revealed, concern evident in his tone. King Man Singh's shock was palpable as he processed the news. "Charya and Indira, here?" he exclaimed, disbelief coloring his voice. "This is worse than I feared. We must ensure the safety of the queen and our kingdom." A wave of tension rippled through the group as they processed this new threat. They exchanged knowing glances, understanding the magnitude of the challenge that lay ahead. Amidst the tension, King Mansingh's gaze searched the faces of his protectors. "And Vikram, where is he?" he questioned, concern evident in his voice. Yash Singh stepped forward, his expression somber. "Vikram has been dispatched to Prince Krishna's camp," he responded, his tone grave. "He's on his way to reinforce the defense and ensure the safety of the royal family." Rohan Singh, their leader, stepped forward, his voice steady despite the mounting pressure. "We must act swiftly and decisively. Protecting the royal family is our priority," he declared, determination ringing in his words. Despite their formidable prowess, Rohan Singh and his group decided and refrained from engaging in combat, their unwavering loyalty to Tejas's orders outweighing their confidence in battle. Aware of their capability to vanquish any opposing force, they exercised restraint, prioritizing the protection of the royal family over a potential confrontation. The elite squad moved out of the royal chambers towards the training facility, with just the king and queen ordering the royal servants to disperse. Sharia Singh and Indira stormed towards the chambers, their squad swiftly dealing with the soldiers guarding the entrance with deadly efficiency. Bursting into the chambers, rage contorting their faces, they barked orders at their soldiers, commanding them to search every corner for the king and queen. Their footsteps echoed ominously as the soldiers fanned out into the grand hallways. Within moments, they returned with a group of terrified maids who had been attending to the queen. Roughly grabbing them by their hair, the soldiers dragged them forward, their cries of fear reverberating off the chamber walls. Indira's eyes gleamed with sadistic pleasure as she surveyed the scene, a cruel smirk curling her lips. "Where is the king?" she demanded, malice dripping from her voice as she scanned the room for any sign of their target. Sharia Singh's expression mirrored hers, equally menacing as he surveyed the chamber, his gaze darting from corner to corner in search of his prey.
"Find him!"
he roared, his voice thundering through the halls. Advancing with ominous steps, Indira remained silent, her eyes ablaze with cruel intent. Without a word, she seized one of the maids by the hair and delivered a sharp slap across her face, the sound echoing off the chamber walls. The maid cried out in pain, her voice joining the chorus of screams that filled the room. Undeterred, Indira delivered another brutal slap, the force of the blow sending the maid tumbling to the ground. With a twisted grin, she nodded to her guards, who promptly hoisted the maid back to her feet, blood streaming from her injured mouth. Closing in on the trembling maid once more, Indira leaned in close, her breath hot against the maid's skin as she licked her cheek. Then, with a sudden ferocity, she began to rain down blows upon the defenseless maid, each strike more vicious than the last. The chamber reverberated with the sounds of the maid's screams and the sickening thud of Indira's blows. The other maids looked on in horror, their faces pale with fear as they huddled together, praying for mercy. Meanwhile, Sharia Singh watched impassively as the maid's lifeless body was cradled in the arms of the soldiers. His expression remained unreadable as he surveyed the scene before him, his mind calculating his next move in this deadly game of power and control. With a piercing gaze, Indira turned her attention to the soldiers who had let the almost lifeless maid fall to the ground. Without a word, she kicked the limp body with a cruel force, eliciting a pained scream from the maid's lips. Then, with a sickening thud, she stomped on the maid's head, crushing the last remnants of life from her. "Stop playing, Indira!" Sharia Singh's voice cut through the chamber, his tone tinged with a hint of warning. Ignoring her father's command, Indira seized another maid, ready to unleash her sadistic fury once more. But before she could strike, the maid spoke up, her voice trembling with fear. "The king and queen were just taken away by a few men through the secret passage," she stammered, her words barely audible over the chaos of the chamber. "Did we ask you?" Sharia Singh's voice was cold and authoritative, his eyes narrowing as he glared at the maid. Indira, however, seemed to take pleasure in the unfolding chaos. "Oh, come on, Dad, it's rather amusing," she remarked, a sadistic smirk playing on her lips. "Look at them, wetting themselves in fear." As Sharia Singh fell into deep thought, pacing back and forth, Indira's smirk widened. "Boys," she addressed the soldiers with chilling enthusiasm, "I want you to create a beautiful symphony of screams. Help Dad think." With a nod from their twisted leader, The soldiers, who had thus far only held the women by their hair and hands, prepared to carry out Indira's macabre orders. The scene was too gruesome to describe. The chamber filled with the piercing screams of women in agony. Some of the women, in a desperate attempt to escape the horrors unfolding before them, tried to flee, only to be met with the sadistic pleasure of the soldiers. With cruel precision, some of the soldiers wielded their swords, using the sharp blades to strip the women of their clothes, ensuring each cut inflicted just enough pain without causing fatal wounds. Meanwhile, others resorted to more physical means, their hands becoming instruments of brutality as they broke bones and delivered vicious slaps to the defenseless women. The air was thick with the scent of blood and fear, mingling with the echoes of agonized cries that reverberated off the chamber walls. In this chamber of horrors, the soldiers reveled in their cruel acts, their depravity knowing no bounds as they inflicted suffering upon the innocent with ruthless efficiency. As if fueled by some intoxicating drug, the atrocities unfolding before them brought a twisted sense of pleasure, joy, and calm to the faces of the father-daughter duo. Sharia Singh sighed heavily, his gaze fixated on the chaos in the chamber. "Tihas," he muttered, his voice tinged with a hint of concern. Indira's eyes narrowed with determination. "I told you I should have taken care of him," she spat with disdain. Sharia Singh shook his head, moving closer to the maid who had just spoken, his hand grazing her face with a chilling touch. "It's not as simple as that," he murmured, his voice low and dangerous. Indira wrinkled her nose in disdain. "He's just an old man, barely a threat. He might as well be dead," she scoffed, her voice dripping with contempt. Sharia Singh's expression hardened, cutting her off sharply. "That's enough, Indira. It was Tara's explicit instruction that we do not engage with him directly," he reminded her sternly, a trace of concern underlying his tone. Ignoring his warning, Indira brushed past him dismissively. "I'll deal with the royals myself," she declared, motioning for a few of her men to follow as she headed towards the secret door. Sharia Singh interjected, his voice firm. "No, Indira. It's pointless. They've already fled, and the escape route is meticulously designed. Pursuing them would be a waste of effort," he asserted, his words leaving no room for argument. With a heavy sigh, he added, "We need to consult Tara G for further instructions." Indira's face contorted with frustration, disgust, and anger, releasing a primal scream of frustration. Gesturing for Indira to follow, Sharia Singh made his way towards the exit. The chamber fell into a chilling silence, the lifeless bodies of royal servants painting the walls red. Once beds fit for royalty, now witnesses to the horrors that unfolded within. As we reach the conclusion of Chapter 4, shadows of betrayal, the serpents strike, the shadows cast by treachery grow longer and more sinister, ensnaring those who seek truth and justice within their dark embrace. The intricate dance of power and deceit within the royal courts reveals the fragile nature of alliances and the perilous path of those who dare to challenge the status quo. The chapter intricately details the unsettling alliance between Sharia Singh and Indira, casting a foreboding shadow over the kingdom's future. Their actions, driven by a thirst for power and a disdain for justice, set the stage for a calamity that threatens to engulf the realm in darkness. As we prepare to venture into Chapter 5, Echoes of Fury, The Motive, listeners are poised on the brink of revelation and retribution. The chapter promises to unravel the complex tapestry of motives and desires that drive the kingdom's key players, exposing the fragile web of lies that binds them together. Listeners will be drawn into the heart of the conspiracy, where the true motives of Dhanuja, Sharia Singh, and the enigmatic Tara G are set to be unveiled. The narrative promises to explore the depths of betrayal and the lengths to which individuals will go to protect their power and secrets. Amidst the unfolding drama, the memory of Rajpurohit Mahendra and the army chief looms large, their absence a silent testament to the cost of integrity in a realm where duplicity reigns supreme. The quest for justice becomes a perilous journey through a landscape marred by betrayal, where every truth uncovered leads to more questions, and every alliance is subject to the whims of fate. Chapter 5 beckons with the promise of answers and the threat of new deceptions, inviting listeners to delve deeper into the heart of the kingdom's darkness, where the echo of fury resounds with the potential to either cleanse or further corrupt.